broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Kirk Crosby had to take off for a business meeting. I'll be holding down the fort while he's gone. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two at two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant as well, and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the principles that made America great certainly would be fantastic. Now, last hour we talked about a term that's getting a lot of play in the news. The term's called microaggressions. Headline warning, white people singing Rihanna could cause microaggressions is how this started out. It's in Fox News as a commentary opinion piece, and it's all over the web. And the idea really is, you know what? Microaggressions is a term created by a Harvard professor back in 1970. And it's getting more and more and more play, if you will. But look, microaggressions are no different than the persecutions of old, whether it be religion or class, battles or Cain killed Abel. You know what? It's all these aggressions or these persecutions or abuses. Some call it bullying. Some call it abuse. Some call it... Okay, but nevertheless, we documented this. And I mentioned that a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or Mormon apostle, his name is Elder Dallin H. Oaks, he spoke, and the title of his speech was Seek for a Ceasefire in the Culture Wars. In other words, Elder Oaks encourages understanding and civil dialogue. Understanding and civility are indispensable ingredients to bring an end to the culture wars that seem to permeate and trouble our pluralistic nation. Now, I bring this all up last hour because I believe it's critical to understand that I stand against persecutions of any kind. I stand against all these divisions that are going on in America. I don't care if you're black, white, tall, short, fat, skinny, male, female, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, neither, rich, poor, whatever. We all need to realize that we all want the same things, which is freedom to choose as we will. We all want to be safe in our persons, if you will. We want to be free to pursue our own interests and to be left alone in doing so. For the most part, I would say everybody agrees with that. And so that's one of the geniuses of America, which is, you know what? We can all believe and think and however we want to. My rights end where yours begin, kind of an idea. And you know what? We ought to have America for all. And we need to lead out with civility, with patience, with understanding. That's my view. I follow the Prince of Peace, personally. Okay, but I'm not here to dictate to anybody else the views of their conscience, either. Well, anyway, TZ emailed in and said, listen, this microaggression term's bogus. We need to learn to, if people are involved in microaggressions or little abuses, to let them go. Just ignore them. Deal with them with graciousness and kindness and long-suffering and patience, as the scriptures would teach us. But if it's a long-term sustained abuse, then we need to deal with it appropriately and kindly, and we need to look for ways to de-escalate. I agree completely. But this is an interesting phenomenon that's being talked about all across America right now. And it is something where I believe we need a kinder, gentler, more patient society with one another. Whether it's something as simple as standing in line. You know, you see the most mild-mannered people get in their car and they turn crazy. I mean, they want to just kill people while they're driving down the road, right? Kind of thing. We need to be very careful that we're civil, that we're kind, that we treat others with respect and dignity in the way we would like to be treated, even if we disagree with them. Well, Pete then wants to chime in. Hi, Pete.
Hey, how's it going, Sam?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I think this whole microaggression thing is ridiculous. It's what it is just redundant. It doesn't solve anything. It's just some psychiatrist popping off. I guess they have to say something to make sure people recognize that they're still there. In my opinion, they're a bunch of flakes anyway. But it's that microaggression is simply human nature. And we're all going to have it at one time or another. And that's just the way it is. You're going to have it. I'm going to have it. We're not going to have it all the time, but it's going to happen because that's the way we're put together. So
there's truth to what you say, but I guess the question should become, you know, I don't know if microaggression and the term persecution are synonymous. However, you know what? We're all going to get frustrated from time to time and act inappropriately, or I would say react to the situation wrongfully. That happens. That's what, you know, sometimes we need to apologize for. I agree with your general point. However, I do stand against persecutions, and I think in our society we need a more kind and gentle society. What do you think?
Well, it would be nice to have a more kind and gentle, you know, gentle society, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't seem like it's going to be that way because it hasn't started off that way in the beginning, and certainly it hasn't gotten much better. I mean, human nature has pretty much stayed the same. The best, you know what happens, though, Sam? I'm sure you'll agree with this one. When you're a young man, you can get revved up a lot easier than when you're an old guy. Old guys,
that's
like
right.
Me, we just don't. You know, if I want to sing a Rihanna song, which, Umbrella, I've heard it, you know, it's okay. I don't know if I'd sing it because it's only got one word, but, yeah.
I don't know that I'd sing it either. That wasn't really the point. The point is that, you know what, I'm not so sure it's a microaggression to sing Rihanna, but that's what's being talked about in the news. And I agree with you, the more experienced you get, the older you get, the more gentle and the more even keel you get in terms of your beliefs, your understandings. You're like, hey, you know what, I can live and let live a little bit. And experience goes a long way. But doing our very best to become better people, to be forgiving people, to be gentle people, to be respectful people, to be kind people, to look for ways to de-escalate as opposed to escalate situations, those are always good things. And I guess I use this talk show time to really focus on that, to really lead the way and say we need a kinder, gentler society. And I can't fix it tomorrow, right? You're right. It's been going on forever. But I can do my part, Pete.
Yeah. Well, we can all do our part. But as I mentioned, young man's full of, he's got a big buck snort air and he's running around. He's got, you know, he's a strong guy and he has opinions. And then when he gets older, he finds out that he wasn't right all the time. And now he becomes a little bit more humbler. I got a lot of, let me tell you, when I was 20 years old, I went down to Macon, Georgia, and I played the Chitlin Circuit, all the black bands, all the black clubs, Brown Bags, way out in the woods. And then I went over to Texas and played country for a while. And I never had any problem with black folks. I drove a fish truck into Chicago in 1968 when the Panthers were shooting it up. Never had any problem with black folks. See, because they're just folks like you and me. So, you know, but if you have, now there's some old boys that are just going to, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. They're going to go ahead and start trouble. There's always troublemakers.
You're right about that. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. He's right. The older you get, the more patient and kind you get. And I agreed. I don't have a problem with anybody because of different races or any of those things. I'm just telling you, we need to really focus on this gentler, kinder society. Alan Phillips, well-known attorney at law. His websites are vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com. Well-known guest on Liberty Roundtable, well-known vaccine rights attorney. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Pleasure to be with you again, Sam. Thanks for having me.
All right. You want to chime in on this dialogue regarding these, what they call microaggressions, or I would just simply say persecutions. I stand against it all, sir. I think we need to be kind and gentle to everybody. If we disagree on something, we need to be agreeably disagreeable. In other words, you know what? We don't need to be hostile or abusive. We can just say, you know what? I don't agree. And there's a way to find common ground, but it takes humility and it takes willingness, right?
Absolutely, Sam, and I'll just throw a couple of quick pieces into the conversation here. It sounds sort of simplistic and Pollyanna to say love is the answer, but I think it really is. And I think we've got to understand that certainly a lot of truth to what the caller had to say about the nature of humanity, but I think there's a whole other dimension here that needs to be brought out, and that is a lot of the conflict I would assert and invite your listeners to look into this for themselves and form their own conclusions. But my tentative conclusion based on my own research to date, suggests that a lot of the tension in society is imposed as a part of what might be thought of as a social engineering agenda, that there are some elements of human nature where we tend to be sort of reactive sometimes and just sort of fighting fire with fire instead of maybe learning to develop some self-discipline to be able to take a deep breath, pause, step back, and not just sort of reflexively react, but to act proactively in a more constructive way. And often that's going to be acting in a more kind and loving way, even though you were aggressively assaulted. But the social engineering agenda is out there as well, which is deliberately imposing some of the concepts.
Hang tight, Alan Phillips, back in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about microaggressions or persecutions or abuse. I agree with Pete to some degree. It's human nature. I agree with TZ that emailed in that said, hey, we need to learn to just kind of blow it off. If somebody does or says something offensive, you know what? We need to be kind and tolerant and patient and let it go. I agree with a lot of these points. I also agree that our society is pretty hardcore. You know what? If someone's taking too long in the line, the average person just gets ticked off, livid. You know what? Get the fetch out of the way. If you're driving your car, you know, the most peaceful, gentle little women turn into they're ready to take your head off kind of stuff. How do we become more gentle and kind and patient in society? And how does that translate to politics? And specifically, how does that translate to the vaccine discussions? Why don't you continue, Alan Phillips, with what you were saying a little bit, and then we'll dovetail that into the vaccine rights debate, because I think there needs to be some civility there too, sir.
Well, absolutely. But, Sam, the lack of civility sometimes, this is certainly not comprehensive 100% by any means. There's a lot there, for example, in what the last caller was talking about in terms of human nature, and it can vary with age and many other different factors. But one of the things we hear over and over again from people in the alternative or anti-vaccine communities who are trying to have a civil discussion on the topic, and they will find consistently and persistently that the response is a very aggressive one that is attacking, humiliating, or attempting to humiliate, to anything but have a civil discussion on the subject. I would assert that this is many times not just an indication of the personality of the person launching the attack, but rather evidence of a very well coordinated and orchestrated attack to do anything and everything to prevent an intelligent discourse, because they will lose the debate or the discussion if it's allowed to progress to a mature, intelligent discourse. So there are the people who are in a very controlled and deliberate way doing all to prevent and undermine the conversation. Then there are those who buy into that and perhaps have the best of intentions and are unwitting perpetrators of that same agenda, if you will.
All right. I agree with your points. I think there's a balance there. I think sometimes individuals are brought along with an agenda, oftentimes for or against a given situation, and that creates its own set of hostilities. In other words, oh, let's just say that I believe in anti-vaccines or anti-abortion. Let's say I'm a pro-life guy, and then somebody goes and blows up an abortion clinic. That's a pretty hostile act that I would never subscribe to, but they were part of the pro-life crowd. In fact, that's in the news right now where this guy's like, hey, I'm going to be rewarded in heaven by all the fetuses and all the babies that never got to live when I get back because I took out these abortion people. Well, I disagree with that. The guy's nuts. Nevertheless, they... he's supposedly on my side of the argument, right? Sometimes that happens, maybe not in such an extreme way, but I think that happens oftentimes. There are doctors that may believe vaccines are good. They necessarily wouldn't go along with the force the jab idea, though. And I think translated to vaccines, this becomes a very, very emotional issue. I think the higher the stakes are when it comes to emotions and personal freedoms, the tougher this gets too, Alan.
Well, there's a real interesting example in the vaccine arena right now, Sam. I think it's an example of some of these points that we're throwing back and forth here. And there's a new movie out called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. This is something that was produced by Dr. Andrew Wakefield, or directed by Dr. Andrew Wakefield, produced by Del Bigtree. And this movie is now seeking an audience, and the producers, distributors are trying to get this movie into theaters around the country. And originally, Robert De Niro and his Tribeca Film Festival, they had agreed to air this movie. And this was after De Niro had spoken with Bill Posey, congressman from Florida, who had and has possession of substantial documentation showing that the CDC deliberately covered up data they had that shows a causal relationship between vaccines and autism. And so this movie is bringing out this fact. So it's going to make a lot of people look really bad in the CDC, or at least a few key important decision makers. And so, as you can imagine, the vaccine industry and those associated in the with the pro-vaccine agenda do not want this film to be seen. Well, pressure came down on De Niro and Tribeca, to make a long story short, and they said, oops, never mind, we're not going to show it. Now, I'm not going to judge him or the film festival there. But what was really the question, of course, is who was really behind shutting that down? What kind of pressure did they put on De Niro, or threats, or whatever? The film, nevertheless, was aired in New York City and still airing currently in the Angelica Film Center. Now, there was another place in Houston, I think, Texas, that was going to air it, and then government officials clamped down on them with very strong threats, and they had to back out and say, no, we're not going to show this film. What's interesting, though, here, Sam, is that here we have examples of threats, coercion, pressure being placed on these places that had originally agreed to air the film. And, boy, there's all sorts of different issues here, but it's an example of we're not going to let the conversation take place, you know, is I guess, was my main point behind this. But there are some places that are agreeing to show the film and have been showing and will be showing the film, and we're going to see this play out over time. And one of the interesting things about the places where it gets shut down is that creates a controversy that maybe even gets more publicity for the film than if they had just kept quiet and let it air. But this is going to be a real interesting situation to see how this plays out over the next few weeks and months here.
Well, and this comes down to the discussion that you and I have all the time, Alan, which is this. We believe people have the choice, or should have the choice, for or against vaccinations. They should be able to maintain their belief systems. They should be able to have as much transparent information as they possibly can. In other words, fully informed decision-making here. And that's kind of the issue about this movie. It's a documentary. And I guess my problem with it all is, why can't people see it? What gives of that?
Well, of course, it threatens to unravel a much, first of all, that it's narrowly focused on a specific study and situation where members of the CDC got together and said, essentially, we can't let this out, and say they destroyed the documentation. Well, one of the people in that group, fortunately for the rest of us and the world, had a conscience and said, wait, I don't think this is legal and appropriate, and quietly made copies of the documents, and now those documents are now in the possession of Congressman Bill Posey from Florida. And Posey's been trying to get Congress to do an investigation for many months now, and has on at least two occasions stood up informally in front of the rest of the Congress saying, hey, we need an investigation on this. The problem, of course, is that this one issue is huge. Deception, possibly criminal behavior here. But, you know, Sam, you know, once the general public realizes they've been lied to on something as profound as this, because...
And that's why I would maintain this is not a single case. This is not a single issue. The question becomes, if they've done this, and there's whistleblowing evidence that they've done this, and if we're going to support transparency of truth and information, then how many times have they done this sort of thing before? How big is this really? And why would they cover up the truth? And how will that affect physicians and the medical industry at large and the American people and people worldwide with their own decision making? And this opens up a can of worms, sir.
It's the hole in the dike that's going to blow down the whole dam.
Some people call it the whole enchilada. Now, I don't mean that anything against Mexicans, by the way. That was not a racial slur. That was not a microaggression. It was just a common phrase I've heard in my life. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Quick pause. Alan Phillips with us. VaccineRights.com and PandemicResponseProject.com are his websites. So let's explore this the best we can, shall we?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, has developed an autonomous drone designed to pursue enemy submarines. The Sea Hunter, also called the Continuous Train Unmanned Vessel, would be deployed in the Pacific to defend carrier fleets against potential Russian and Chinese threats. The Sea Hunter's composite hull has a narrow aspect and is flanked by two pontoons, giving it an appearance somewhat like that of a Hawaiian outrigger canoe. Christened at a port in Oregon, the Sea Hunter was dispatched to San Diego, after which it will be deployed on a 2-year open-water test phase of its automatic systems. The vessel will cost an estimated $20 million a copy. Under President George W. Bush, the CIA employed a method of torture commonly called waterboarding in interrogations of suspected terrorists. although administration officials insisted that waterboarding was not a violation of domestic and international laws against torture, it has been described as such in recent trials of former Khmer Rouge officials and Japanese military leaders who employed it against World War II POWs were convicted and executed for war crimes. The Obama administration, which has normalized the assassination of terror suspects through drone strikes, has discontinued the use of waterboarding. Both of the leading Republican presidential hopefuls, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, have pledged to resume the practice if elected. CIA Director John Brennan told NBC News in an April 11th interview that his agency would not resume the practice even if ordered to do so by a future president. Ahmed Firhani, an Algerian-American, reportedly attempted to hang himself in his cell at New York's Attica Correctional Facility. Firhani was taken to a hospital and put into a medically induced coma. 4 years ago, Firhani entered a guilty plea to terrorism and hate crimes charges after he had discussed potential attacks on synagogues with an undercover NYPD officer. Initially targeted by the FBI, Firhani, who has a history of mental illness, was not an ideologically driven terrorist. Days before his arrest, he suggested to the undercover operative that rather than carrying out an attack, they should simply sell the firearms the operative was supposedly planning to buy. The case against him was so weak that the FBI, which has routinely entrapped young Muslim males in similar false flag operations, withdrew from the case. The NYPD continued to pursue the matter, eventually securing a conviction. For the news the networks refused to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And this half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys, thepowermall.com. When you get a hold of them, thank them for their support and tell them Sam and Kurt sent you, would you please? Thepowermall.com. All right, a quick sidebar. Kurt emailed me a news story right before he left today that I've got to bring up because it relates directly to the topic at hand. We're talking about microaggressions, or we're talking about persecutions and abuses and how hostile of a world we've got these days. And the headline says this. Deputy's wife sets sleeping husband on fire. The victim told deputies that she poured gasoline on him while he slept before lighting him on fire. Now, that is really one of those microaggressions that I would say are as macroaggressions. mammoth aggressions, I don't know what to use. And I would really say don't try that at home, people, please. Don't do it. Okay. Now, I bring all that up, though, to say we do have a hostile society. And sad to say, we have a dishonest society. And this dishonest society oftentimes creates the microaggressions because people are like, you know what? These people are out of control. And it's very easy to get frustrated and angry. We need to learn to act appropriately, not react to situations. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Phillips, well-known attorney at law, vaccine rights attorney, vaccine rights .com, pandemicresponseproject.com are his websites. He's got documents there to help you, and he's available for consulting and more. Nevertheless, we're talking about this movie called Vaxxed. V-A-X-X-E-D. Vaxxed. It's an official documentary. VaxxedTheMovie.com is the website. Vaxxed the movie. V-A-X-X-E-D. And then TheMovie.com is the website to check it out now. There's a big old cover-up in this movie. They don't want it to be shown. So not only do they cover up the documents and get caught from whistleblowers, but now they're trying to prevent us from knowing that it all happened. And the real question is, this is a can of worms. How big does this get, Alan Phillips?
Oh, boy, Sam. This is one of those things that I believe this film has the potential to be the thread that finally unravels the whole fabric here. You know, it's not like the blanket or whatever you want to call it hasn't been frayed around the edges, and increasingly so over recent years. But there needs to be some big break somewhere, and it could come in the vaccine agenda or perhaps any of a number of other different issues today. But if you trace this back, first of all, this one specific instance of the CDC covering up a connection between vaccines and autism, well, then, of course, the at least to some of us, obvious question is, well, gee, have they covered up other instances of autism? And there have been other studies that showed significant fact. I saw a group of researchers at a conference last year who said there is something on the order of close to 170 peer-reviewed published medical studies showing some sort of a connection or relationship between vaccines and autism. The CDC bases its position on 13 studies. Seems like they missed the forest for the tree there on that one.
Well, or they have a flat-out honesty issue.
Well, and then, of course, the question is, how far does that go? Have they done that in other areas of health? And then, you know, you look at the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry in a broader way. And then, you know, the question becomes, well, gee, if it's going on in this industry, is it going on in other industries? And, Sam, this is something that came to my attention or awareness kind of gradually over the last couple of decades that I've been exploring the vaccine issue and the many different various parts and pieces of that in ongoing exploration. But I see not only deception in the vaccine issue, but deception in healthcare in a much broader sense, and deception throughout our society in a much broader sense. Now, there are terrific people everywhere, but in order for a small number of people to exercise substantial influence, if not outright control, over the majority of humanity, ultimately, you really only need to control a relatively few key decision-making positions. So I don't believe there's a conspiracy throughout, you know, medical doctors or the pharmaceutical industry as a whole or state and federal health agencies, for example. But
let me add to that, Alan. Not only is there not a conspiracy as wide or as broad as some might assume, the next-door neighbor that happens to be a doctor or a nurse or the person that you meet when you go downtown or whatever, they're not only not part of a conspiracy. They are genuinely doing what they believe to be best.
I think the vast majority absolutely are. Now, you know, the question then becomes, well, are they potentially deliberately misinformed or manipulated in some way? And that's something that's very difficult for many, perhaps most people, to wrap their mind around. Well, nobody could actually fool, you know, the majority of medical doctors. I mean, they're some of the smartest people, at least intellectually, academically, in our culture today. And the prospect of them being manipulated is really quite frightening when you think about it. But I would assert, and this is a whole other direction potentially to go, and perhaps another time, but the manipulation or the susceptibility to manipulation doesn't have, I don't think, a whole lot to do with academic or intellectual intelligence. It's really something that happens on an emotional level. And that's why doctors, despite being academically gifted or intelligent with respect to the population as a whole on average, they are just as susceptible, perhaps even more susceptible in some respects, to the manipulation that goes on. But we're all subject to that manipulation, and the question is, are we sort of unconsciously sleeping through it, or are we recognizing it and waking up? And I think there's a mass awakening underway with not only respect to vaccines, but many other major controversies of our day, as people are starting to figure out more and more that they've been lied to and they've been manipulated. And if any one piece, and this vax movie could be that thread, Sam, we're just going to have to see how it plays out over the next few months, but it could be a piece that unravels or starts the greater unraveling, or one of perhaps ideally multiple pieces that sort of break into the mainstream or into the larger population. And, of course, they don't want any piece of this to get out because, like I said real quickly before the last break there, this is the hole in the dike, so to speak. And if they don't plug this hole, the whole dam is at risk of coming down. Of course, that's what needs to happen. But they're not going to let that happen without a fight.
You're right about that. And again, that just in my mind heightens the mistrust that we ought to have. We need a healthy dose of mistrust. It's one thing to say we did it, we got caught, it's now coming out, we're going to have accountability. I don't know if this is too violent. I don't mean it to be a microaggression in any way, but our heads are going to roll over this, and we're going to clean house and have accountability going forward and try to regain trust. Or are we going to just add insult to injury by covering up and then mocking those who try to not only, one, whistleblow, but two, document it and carry it forward for a greater transparency of understanding? I mean, isn't that really the question?
Well, it is. And what's fascinating to me, Sam, is that there are people in positions of power and control, obviously, who can shut at least some of these down, and they've already done that in a couple of key places. But in doing that, the fact that they are not letting it out is becoming a controversy that maybe even serves the raising of awareness about all of this more so than just allowing it to be seen. This may be a situation where they lose either way.
And I agree with your point. If that needs to happen, I guess it needs to happen. But it just shows how corrupt and how untrustworthy the system really is. Even a whistleblowing action can't trigger solutions. And that's of even greater concern, even though I think you're right.
Well, this is a really fundamental point. We do not yet have the clear fundamental protections and support for whistleblowers in this country that we really need. But of course, the reason we don't have that is because they risk each and every one of them in their own way. Again, pulling out that key thread that starts the unraveling of the whole blanket. So we've... So it's understandable why any attempt to expose or uncover things is going to be vigorously and aggressively fought as they try to keep all of this shoved under the rug. But it's I don't know, Sam. You know, we're at a real pivotal point, I think, in our society today. We're either going to see some things start unraveling, and that could potentially be the snowball running down the hill that leads us in a period of a very few years to some radical changes and reforms, ultimately for the better, if some very uncomfortable transition periods as people go into states of shock, realizing, you know, as they're confronted with the reality of what's been going on, or we're going to digress into a darker place, totalitarianism, or whatever it ends up ultimately being. This is the point where they either shut down the awakening or they don't. So these next few months, next couple and few years are going to be really pivotal, I think, in the direction of the future of our country and perhaps even the world in a larger sense.
Unfortunately, I agree, sir. And the reason I say unfortunately is because I hope for civility. I hope for peace. I hope for transparency. I hope for solutions. I hope for freedom to choose. I hope for laws that support our freedom to choose, especially with one of our most fundamental property rights, our own bodies. VaccineRights.com. PandemicResponseProject.com. Alan Phillips, attorney at law, our guest in seconds on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Alan Phillips, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. We're talking about this vaxxed film. We're talking about transparency and truth. We're talking about accountability. We're talking about whistleblowing. But we're talking about one of your most prized possessions, your body. That is your private property, if you will. And we're talking about how we can make a difference, to let people have choice, to create accountability, to have transparency, and to let people in a fully informed scenario make their own decisions regarding their body, regarding vaccinations, regarding Donald Trump even brought this up on the campaign stage and got booed down only to find out that he was right. I knew he was right, but most people didn't. The problem is the mainstream press is all too willing to be a partner in this. And I know we've worked on this together, Alan Phillips, for a long time, and we've said that legislatively is the place where we need to really work the most on this. That's where the real battle is fought. And I think that's correct. That's why it's so important that people become delegates. It's so important that people watch the bills that go through their legislative sessions. It's so important to stand up for states' rights. The list goes on, but how do we deal with this? Now we have an opportunity to help this film see the light of day and really help stimulate a dialogue here for transparency, for accountability, for solutions, right?
Absolutely, and I think we have to understand that one of the key places where the rubber meets the road on the vaccine issue is in the state legislatures. And the reason is because the federal government doesn't have authority to mandate vaccines for state residents directly. Now, the federal government can try to coerce the states into doing what they want it to do, and that certainly happens on this and other issues from time to time. But ultimately, it's a state-by-state call for most people in most situations. And so we've got to be proactive at the state level. And Sam, this has been an enormously active and aggressive legislative issue, the vaccine issue generally. There have been anywhere from 100 to 130 or more bills pending in 30 to 35 or more states around the country for the last two or three years. And that has varied from state to state and time to time around the country as different legislative periods come and go in different states. But over the last couple of years, just in general, there have been 100 or more vaccine bills pending at any given time.
And by the way, Alan, I think most people haven't a clue that's really the case. They have not a clue.
Or if someone were to tell them, wouldn't have a clue what that really means. Most of these bills, Sam, as one would reasonably suspect, are bills seeking to further the vaccine agenda, the pharmaceutical agenda, to require more vaccines of children, as if the 69 by age 18 that they're required to get is not enough already. More vaccines for adults. We have now the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 that, among other things, created the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that over the last few years pays out on average more than $220 million a year. Over half that now is for adults being injured and killed by vaccines, and it's primarily flu vaccines in that respect. So, adults are being required more and more to get vaccines, and this is an open-ended agenda that is rolling out one step at a time. There's always another vaccine to give a person, and there's always another person to give a vaccine. that's a quick summary of the pharmaceutical agenda, because as we've talked about in the past, there are literally hundreds of new vaccines in development. There's no light at the end of this tunnel. So we've got to become proactive legislatively, because if we are not taking steps to secure and expand our right to make informed choices, those rights are aggressively being taken away or attempted to be taken away by bills that are backed by the pharmaceutical industry trying to impose more and more vaccines on more and more people.
Now, we need to work on it legislatively, that's for sure. We need to create a network across the country, state by state, to accomplish these efforts, to bring transparency to the discussion, to focus on the choice and accountability scenario. But we also need to work on this when it comes to whistleblowers who not only, one, put their careers, their families, their everything in jeopardy to blow the whistle. Now for this to come out in a video form and then to have that shut down, we need to be political activists in the sense that we simply find venues to show this movie, find ways for people to have this information, and to find ways for people to realize, you know what? This is a massive, dishonest cover-up. And the question that you really got to ask is why? If vaccines are good, safe, and effective, why would they ever have this, one, whistleblowing, and two, then cover-up of even the whistleblowing? And where's the accountability? Where does the buck stop? And I think that we, as individuals, need to get together on that piece, too.
Well, absolutely, Sam. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, of course, well, they're not following the real science, they're not being honest, they're doing this, that, and the other, and we're all just, you know, confused and conflicted. Why are they doing this? How is this happening? And so forth. There is a perspective from which all of this fits together and does make sense. And this is an arena I encourage people to do their own research and explore and come to their own conclusions. But the phrase that comes to mind, one I threw out a little bit earlier, social engineering. And the theory would be something like this, that there are a relatively small number of people who control, for example, the vast majority of wealth in the world, small number of families. And these are people who operate outside of political and legal boundaries. And they see themselves, and this is just my own interpretation at this point in time, and they see themselves as kind of the stewards of the planet. They are the shepherds and all of the humans. We are their flock or animals. You know, I saw a YouTube video once called Human Farming, and I thought, what a funny metaphor. It turned out it wasn't a metaphor. They were talking about the idea of human farming literally. And so these people are managing the world population, among other things, and there are multiple strategies they employ, different ones in different countries or regions of the world, depending on certain conditions that make one technique or the other, or a group of techniques or the others, effective. But one of the techniques for controlling population that's a big part of that, certainly not the only one, but is vaccines. And you can use vaccines really on both the front end and the back end in terms of affecting the birth rate and lifespan and death rate. So vaccines have been tested. This is documented in third world countries to interfere with or affect fertility and birth rates. And vaccines, clearly at this point, you just look at the government statistics about the vaccine adverse events that are reported, and then a separate program, the injury compensation program payouts, and you can see that vaccines are causing a significant number of deaths and many times that number of permanent disabilities, which not only make lifelong customers for the pharmaceutical industry, so are great as a way of generating income, but overall this is lowering average lifespan and thereby controlling population. So there are population control measures on both the front end and, or effects on both the front end and back end, if you will, of human lives as a consequence of the implementation of vaccines. So there are many other pieces to the puzzle. There are social policies, there are GMOs, and we could go on and on about the many different pieces that are being implemented in different parts of the world. But collectively, we are the flock that's being managed by the shepherds, people who ultimately see themselves as above and superior to all the rest of us. And when you look at these many different things, the vaccines, but in connection with many other parts and pieces, it really all does fit nicely, if we could ever use that word here, maybe neatly is the better word, into a comprehensive, larger plan.
And it's our responsibility, in my mind, to expose that plan and for us to work towards self-determination, using transparency and truth and integrity and accountability as our guide, and really focus on what is best for a society. What options are best? How do we take money out of the game? How do we take control out of the game? And how do we let people self-determine based on full knowledge? And how do we find solutions that are inexpensive, that are safe and effective? And how do we leave room for agency and choice? And then with that, in my mind, we can achieve the ultimate opportunity for people to choose as they will. Right now, we don't have that environment, and that's what we seek to gain.
And I guess the people imposing, a different agenda here, suppressing truth, trying to prevent us from making informed decisions, you know, have a different picture of reality. They may actually see themselves as being the benevolent, dictatorial type that, you know, we could never handle this on our own, so they're going to fix it for us. I have much greater faith in humanity's ability to solve its own problems given the opportunity, given the full set of information. We are amazingly resourceful creatures.
And around this, I'll add, I would submit to you they're guilty of microaggressions, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I might not use the term micro in their case, nevertheless.
Well, I think micro and macro, the full spectrum here.
But either way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn more about this, if you want to get a booklet that Alan Phillips has to learn about vaccines, about the rights, about the realities in your state or wherever you are, if you want to understand how to learn about this movie, if you want to get guidance on you and your family and what you can do to conscientiously object or religiously object or et cetera. If you want to keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening legislatively in your area, Alan Phillips is a great resource, ladies and gentlemen. VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. And my friend, it's always a pleasure to have you on the radio. And I appreciate your insights, your perspective, and your leadership, sir. Your work is well worth the effort to learn about and to be involved in.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. The feeling's mutual, and it's always a great pleasure and honor to be here with you.
Godspeed, my friend. Thank you. There he goes, Alan Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, doing a wonderful job. You know, we need people like that. We need solid leaders. We need sound information. We need a place to go. And then we need to get to work as Americans and join together for solutions. PandemicResponseProject.com, VaccineRights.com. Those are Alan's websites. Our websites are LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Thanks so much. Make it a great day. Do you know this nation shall endure?